Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, this is Money Talking. I'm Charlie Herman. Fantasy football, pretty much all online fantasy sports, are worlds unto themselves. At least they are for me. I know that when my nephew asked me to join his NFL fantasy league, well, really, I'm the last person that he would want. But millions of Americans do understand how it all works, and they play these games a lot, and they spend a lot of money. But is it gambling? Well, New York's Attorney General Eric Schneiderman says, yes, it is. And this week, he issued orders for two of the biggest companies to shut down operations here in New York.
We determined that this is not some new version of fantasy sports. This is just a new version of online gambling. And New York State has a very strong prohibition on all forms of gambling unless there is a specific exemption.
Well, joining me are Tim Fernholz of Quartz and Andrew Stern of Business Insider. And first, Tim, for someone like me who doesn't play fantasy football, how does it work?
So when the NFL season is going on, football teams are playing for the fall, people can pick players from across the whole league and make their own teams. And traditionally, you would compete against people you knew in your own pool over the whole extent of the season. But the new innovation that these big daily fantasy websites have is, one, you can play with anyone. You don't need to set up your own team and track everything. And two, you can play for every single game. And that's the daily aspect. You don't need to be stuck with one team for the entire season. Each week you can pick a new team and play that way.
Well, Andrew, it sort of feels like I'm seeing it everywhere now. Like, I can't watch a football game without seeing an advertisement for DraftKings or FanDuel. What's happening that we're suddenly seeing it everywhere?
Well, there's a very good reason for that. And that's that both companies, FanDuel and DraftKings, in the last year and a half or so have closed major rounds of funding in the 200+ million dollar range. And they're using a lot of that VC funding to advertise. I think the two of them were confirmed to have spent over $150 million in advertising in Q3 alone, which obviously coincides with the beginning of football season. So there's a reason why you're seeing so many ads from them, because they're spending a lot of coin to do so.
But the people investing in them, I mean, they're big names, names that we know.
Yeah, absolutely. There are companies like Time Warner, Comcast, Google Ventures. There are definitely some big names that have skin in the game for people to consume more sports content, which is exactly what these DFS sites are causing.
So, Tim, there's a lot of money here at stake for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it's even pretty incestuous. One of my favorite things is that DraftKings, one of these big sites, received $150 million in funding from Fox Networks and then turned around and committed to spend $250 million advertising on Fox Sports over the next 3 years. So it's this weird virtuous or vicious cycle, depending on how you see it, where the sports networks love the fantasy games because they generate so much interest in the content, and then the fantasy games go to the sports networks to spread their message far and wide that they're out here and you can perhaps win money playing on them.
So the Attorney General is arguing that this is actually gambling, is it?
Well, I think that in any game of skill, there is a randomizing element. In backgammon, you have dice. In poker, you have the deal of the cards. And DFS certainly has a randomizing element. So there is an element of chance. But there's a reason why the top pros continue to win over and over and week after week.
And when you say top pros, like a very small percentage of people win the money.
So it's about 1.5% of people take down about 90% of the profits. It might be closer to 70 or 80%, but 1.5% of the sharks at the top of the pyramid certainly take down a substantial portion of the entry fees.
So is it gambling? Is it illegal?
I think it is gambling. Whether that's illegal, it sort of depends on the state law. Eric Schneiderman is saying it's illegal in New York. In Nevada, they've said it is illegal, or rather it's gambling, and they're not allowed to participate until they get a gaming license. You know, part of this is that states like to have a monopoly on all gambling and get the revenue where they can. It is, like Andrew says, a game where there are people at the top who are taking advantage of the dumb money coming in. It's kind of like the stock market. The challenge of daily fantasy isn't necessarily picking the best players that you can get, because a lot of people know who those players are, but picking the ones who are undervalued. People actually set up computer models to figure out who the best players are, and the people who invest in those computer models are the ones who are winning the game.
So, but is it actually, to take the other side of that,
so does maybe that mean it's skill?
Yeah, I mean, there could be some skill involved here of actually looking at the numbers, doing like a money ball for baseball, but on fantasy football, fantasy sports.
Well, that's exactly what the top pros are doing. I've interviewed a couple of guys that are in the top 20 rankings in the world, and they generally have statistics backgrounds. They build very complex algorithms, and they use Excel and really big time number crunching formulas to figure out what are the ideal lineups, either to play against other people in cash games head-to-head, or if they're trying to win tournaments, which, as you said, are two very different things. One, you're trying to find value to make sure that if you score, other people don't, versus in cash games, you just want to beat the other person, so you're going to try to select the team that scores the most points.
So you've got a small group of people playing these games who are making a lot of money, and you have a lot of big investors who are making money because these companies are, you know, pulling in a lot from average consumers. What's at stake here if the Attorney General is successful in shutting down the company?
Well, I think that New York is kind of a harbinger for a lot of other states, because there's about 20 states, give or take, that have similar gambling laws on the books to New York. And with FanDuel being based here and both companies having the largest number of players based in New York, if New York says this and it ends up becoming law or at least precedent, then it could set the stage for all of the states that have similar statutes to follow in New York's footsteps, which could bring about the end of both companies.
Do you guys play?
No fantasy sports to distract me from my beloved New England Patriots.
I'm in a similar boat. I don't play a lot of fantasy sports because I'm too big of a sports fan. I've got too many things going on.
You just want to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, what are some of the other stories that you're looking ahead to, Tim?
One thing that I'm looking forward to seeing is the result of a special investigation into a Pentagon program in Iraq and Afghanistan that spent hundreds of millions of dollars on economic reconstruction, but now it seems like we don't know where the money is gone. And the Defense Department is stonewalling efforts to get at the files about this program. So Senator Chuck Grassley has demanded they turn everything over, and it will be interesting to see where the money trail leads.
Do we have any idea of where some of the money might have been spent?
One of the big ticket items was a $43 million natural gas filling station in Afghanistan, and it's not clear that there
are.
Do
they have natural gas in Afghanistan?
They have natural gas. They don't have natural gas cars to run on natural gas.
Andrew, what are you watching?
So I think that as many people have seen the protests that have happened at Mizzou or the University of Missouri, that the president has since resigned. And as someone who is a recent graduate student who is kind of on the line between teacher and student, it's very interesting to see how the First Amendment is being thought about on these campuses and what's going to be kind of the norm moving forward for debate and dialogue in public spaces like public universities.
Well, Andrew Stern with Business Insider, Tim Fernholz with Quartz, thanks so much for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.